I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Back at Petco Park, Chris Ello, the coach, John Quintero, sitting in for Tony Gwynn Jr. today. It is Gwynn and Chris on a gorgeous Friday, and we are honored to have with us on the program the future Hall of Fame manager of the San Francisco Giants and, of course, longtime skipper of the Padres, Bruce Bochy, nice enough to spend a few moments with us here this afternoon. Coach, let me introduce you to the coach. It's nice to have the coach and Boch back together after all these years, huh?
Yeah, it's been a long time. How's things going, guys? How's Coach doing?
I'm doing great, Boch. Great to have you on the show today. Opening day yesterday. I got to ask you right off the bat, opening day for your ball club here in San Diego. What was it like for you coming out to that foul line on the third base side yesterday?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I mean, it was a time when I did some reflecting, especially during the anthem. It was my time to kind of thank a lot of people, my family, but also realize, you know, this is where it started. I mean, not in this ballpark, but old Qualcomm or even Jack Murphy. But, and I really, before then, and it's been a busy time this past week, so I really hadn't thought about it until the ceremony, and I thought that's how it would go anyway. And, as I was staying on the line and the anthem, there's no question. I was thinking, a lot of good times, great memories I've had here.
You've certainly created some great ones in San Francisco as well. Coach Bruce, manager Bruce Bochy is with us on the SDCCU fan hotline. Boch, I'm sure you've been asked, but how did you arrive at the decision that this would be your final season?
Well, I just felt like it was time to keep it simple. I mean, and I'm sure there were some little things that added up that I just thought, you know what, it's time to step back. And, it's been a great run. One heck of a ride. I've been doing this for 25 consecutive years and just had a couple of grandkids, a few things. And I just said it's time to step back for them, for me. You know, they can hear a new voice. I decided to go ahead and get it out there because I was having to answer that question a lot. And I guess it's a sign that you are getting old when people ask you how much longer are you going to do this. But for Farhan and myself, the players, you know, that question was going to come up all year. So I said, you know what, I'm going to get it out there. And so I can just put it behind us for everybody, not just myself. And it turned out, I thought it was going to lighten the load, but once I did it, I've got friends from all over going back to junior high that, hey, it's your last year, we're coming out to see you. I go, wait a minute, I've got a lot of people here, but it's good to hear from them. But anyway, as I've told the players, you know, you never know how long you're going to do this. So, you know, you got to enjoy it, savor it, and that's what I will do.
Hey, Boch, you're kind of interesting in the fact you managed all the years here in San Diego. You've had the tremendous run up there with the San Francisco Giants, and you had a general manager here who was your best friend. You go up to San Francisco, you have a guy like Brian Sabian, a great baseball man, a pretty fortunate guy to have two great general managers, because a lot of managers have a hard time getting along with their GMs.
Oh, no question. I think you look at the two cities and, of course, the two general managers, and I don't want to forget one. The guy that hired me, a young general manager that took a chance on the young Bochy, and that was Randy Smith back in 1995. And then Kevin took over. But both Kevin and Brian and I, we had special relationships. And you really need it. I mean, it makes the job so much less daunting when you have a boss that is not just your boss, but your friend and a guy that you talk to all the time, spend a lot of time together, and unfortunately, we lost Kevin. And but, you know, I think all the great times that we had here. Here's a guy that I played together, and he was my pitching coach in Spokane, and ended up being our scouting director my first year. And then, lo and behold, he becomes my boss. So it was funny how that all went full circle. And, of course, Brian and I had this tremendous time together. And he's still with us, so I still get to see him a lot.
Bruce Bochy is with us, SDCCU Fan Hotline. Giants and Padres coming up tonight at Petco Park. Boch, talk about this your ball club this year. I think you're probably finding a little excitement in the sense that you get a chance to develop a bunch of young new players this year and are looking forward to that challenge. I mean, obviously, you've still got your veterans and Bumgarner and Posey and Crawford and Belt, but you got some new young players to work in this year, and I would imagine that's something you're looking forward to.
I am. Yeah, I'm getting to know couple new ones here. You saw them in the outfield. They made their debut yesterday. Connor Joe, who you guys, I'm sure, know,
right.
Being from San Diego, being from Poway, and going to Poway High, you know, where my son went. So I knew about Connor. And Michael Reed, who played right field, he's going to lead off for us tonight. So I'm getting to know these two young guys. We got a young center fielder. Made his first start on opening day, Duggar, last night. So, you know, we're trying to get younger, and so it's shown up in the outfield. We still have our core guys, and really, you know, our season will go as they go, and hopefully they stay healthy. And because we're, you know, we're a club that, you know, we have to play the game. We don't have a lot of power, but you know, the guys do know how to play. They do know how to win, and but, you know, it's going to be up to our core guys to help carry the load here. Meanwhile, develop these young guys. And, you know, you guys have been through it. And sometimes you have those growing pains with these young players. But for me, I enjoy it.
Hey, Boch, I got to say this. I'm sure we'll have you on before the end of the season. But I got to say this. All the years I've been involved with Padre baseball, some of the greatest memories I will take away when my days are done on the radio were sitting in that office with you and Kevin and talking baseball after a Thursday day game or a Saturday night game or on the trading deadline when I'd jump out of the seat and get out of there when you brought a player in. And I got to thank you for all the times I had to track you down, whether it be in Pittsburgh after a tough one-run loss or Cincinnati. Man, you were always a pro, not only on the field, but dealing with the media. And I think all the media here, we got spoiled having such a great guy as the manager of the Padres.
Well, Coach, I appreciate that. No, I enjoyed my time with you guys. You know, we, as you know, shoot, we were friends. We got close. And as you know, Kevin, he was a guy that was easy to talk to. And so, you know, it was all, you know, we were all together. You know, you guys had a job to do. We had a job to do. And we loved talking baseball. And you know, and I told Kevin, I mean, when he was sick, he was kind of reflecting on it's, you know, our time here. And I said, shoot, we're proud of what happened here. I mean, we were close, won four divisions, and you know, got to the series, came up short. But I just wanted Kevin to know that because he did so much, you know, for baseball, I think, here in San Diego. And I think what he was proud of was the fact that he did make himself available, and he was one of us, and you know, guy that would sit in there and talk baseball, and was very well liked by everybody.
Yeah, well, I think the same goes for you as well, Coach. Bruce Bochy, we'll let you go. Get ready for tonight's ball game. Thanks so much for spending time with us. I definitely hope we catch up with you later in the season. But until then, enjoy your final season. Have a great time. And I think knowing what you're able to pull out of these players and have done so in the past, these Giants will probably win a whole lot more games this year than a lot of people expect. Good luck.
Well, I appreciate it, and thanks for having me on. And I'll see you guys at the park. Yeah, you guys come by and say hello.
We certainly will.
Take care, Boch.
Right.
There
okay,
he is, Bruce Bochy, joining us on the SDCCU Fan Hotline, and great to have him with us. Equal housing opportunity. SDCCU has low mortgage loan rates. You can apply now at SDCCU.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
His career a little bit, and he's done a great job now at Texas Tech. I just have to believe if Dan Guerrero and those people up at UCLA are doing their due diligence, and they've had plenty of time since they fired Steve Alford, I would think Chris Beard, they've got to talk to him at some point in time, and I would certainly at least try to get some kind of interview or meeting with Mark Few from Gonzaga. UCLA has become non-relevant, and that's hard to believe.
Yeah, I don't think Mark Few's ever going to leave Gonzaga, especially if he goes out with a championship this year. But Chris Beard, that could be a good call. That'll be an interesting game tomorrow. Of course, there's four more games tonight, including Duke against Virginia Tech, North Carolina against Auburn. So we'll keep an eye on those games a little bit later on for you. But right now, we want you to start dialing in. Get on the phone lines. Get yourself lined up. It is Chris versus the fans. It's coming up after the break. Your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Padres and the Giants. Oh, yeah, there is no break. What am I talking about? You think that I've?
You wanted to panic me. That's why.
Have I ever done this show before? I mean, You think I'd know the format by now? So start dialing anyway. Are there any lines open?
One
line open. All right. So if you want to fill that line and get your chance, we have a special little twist on Chris versus the fans today, and Scraby will tell you about it. But first, you have to play this intro, or the game does not exist.
You had one shot. One opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time. Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Now you're talking.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, this is a great prize today. Tickets to see tomorrow night's Padre Giant game. I mean, that's the hottest ticket going right now, Coach. Padres are undefeated. People want to get out here to Petco Park, see this ball club in action. But in order to do it, you're going to have to win Chris versus the fans. Scraby is putting in a little twist today with Tony Gwynn Jr. absent and the coach, John Quintero, sitting in. Scraby's going to ask the questions, but the coach is going to be involved.
Yes, he is actually going to be a lifeline for the callers. Now, if Chris, if the caller goes to coach and coach gets it right, they move on. The caller moves on.
Right. Now,
you're
trying
to get them wrong.
I'm not trying to get them wrong.
Yeah, that's not what I meant.
Here's the deal. You get your question. If you get it right, you move to the next question. If you get it wrong and I get it right, you're eliminated. It's as simple as that. You got to get through three questions to win the tickets. But for the first and only time today, you can use one lifeline. So if you don't know the answer, Thomas.
Dramatic.
I know. Thomas is so dramatic. If you don't know the answer, you can ask the coach for help, and he might be able to save you. So
yes,
that will be an added bonus to our callers today. All right, Scrib, you want to start the proceedings?
Yes, we have Ed from the SDSU area. Ed, can you hear us?
Yes, hello.
Hi, Ed.
Hi, Ed.
So remember, Ed, you get to use coach as a lifeline, but you can only use him once during your turn, okay?
I got it, yes.
All right, let's go, Tom. There we go. All right, Ed, your first question. Which team is well known for their comic antics as their on-court skills?
Scrappy, you're such a great question asker that I think you confuse the listeners.
Yes,
these guys are known for their antics as well as their on-the-court skills.
Oh, the Harlem Globetrotters.
There you go.
You are correct.
There you go. Look, Scraby tried to confuse him with the way he asked the question.
I did not.
Yes, you did. You're no Alex Trebek, I'm telling you.
Well, no, I'm not Alex Trebek.
Wink Martindale.
I keep calling Tony that.
Yeah.
All right, Ed, you are on to the second question. What was the first Super Bowl to use Roman numerals in its title?
Oh, good question, Scraby.
Thank you. After trashing
What was the first Super Bowl that what?
Used Roman numerals in its title.
Remember, if you don't think you know, you can ask the coach as a lifeline.
Five seconds. 2 seconds. You got an answer, Ed? Or you want to go use coach as a lifeline? Ed, are you still there?
Ed is looking it up on Google. We don't want you looking it up.
All right. Ed, you're out. Sorry. I don't even know if you're still there. So
I don't know where Ed went.
Ed got the double technical.
I think the answer is Super Bowl III was the first one to use Roman numerals.
I was going to say Super Bowl IV.
I cannot believe it, but Chris is right.
Yeah, Super Bowl III. The first two were called the AFL-NFL World Championship game. And then the Super Bowl III, the Jets and Colts, they put the Roman numerals in.
Yeah, I can't remember if it was three or four.
I wonder how many years they're going to do this. Like 300 years from now, are they going to have letters going halfway across the page?
I'm not
going
to be worrying about
it. I know. I'm just saying, are they ever going to just finally get to numbers?
All right, up next we have Mark in El Cajon. Mark, how you doing?
I'm good. How's it going?
Hey, Mark.
Good.
Hey,
remember,
Mark.
You have Coach of the Lifeline for your turn only, so don't waste them. Mark, what is the nickname for the coldest pro football game in USA history between the Cowboys and the Packers?
That is the Ice Bowl.
You are correct.
That is right.
Nice job, Mark.
Let's throw the disclaimer in, and I'm not saying Mark's doing this, but everybody who calls in, play in the spirit of the game. We don't want you looking up on Google and trying to figure out all the answers. We can't stop you from doing that, but we all have a whole lot more fun if you just do your best. If you get them right, good for you. If not, maybe next time. But try not to come on here and Google everything. All right, go ahead.
All right, Mark, you're into your second question here.
Yep.
Celtics guard Kyrie Irving was born in which country?
Ooh, I have no idea. Coach,
you can use coach.
He's going to the lifeline.
He's going to his lifeline, coach.
Celtics guard Kyrie Irving was born in which country?
I would say the United States.
You are incorrect.
Oh, he wasn't born in the United States. Now,
Chris,
don't go anywhere,
don't go
Mark.
Don't go anywhere, Mark.
You're still alive because I may not get this right.
Do you know, Chris, where Kyrie Irving was born?
My goodness, there's only about 175 countries out there.
I eliminated one for you.
I know. It's not the U.S. How about, I'll say Canada.
Mark, you're moving on. That is incorrect.
Oh, Mark's still alive. Where's
Kyrie Irving was born in Australia.
Really?
Yeah, he was.
I had not heard that.
Yeah. All right, Mark. Here we are to the third
All right, Mark,
question.
One more and you get the tickets.
Coach is out.
So yeah, he can't use coach as a lifeline, though.
All right.
All right, Mark, here we go. Here is your final question. You get this question correct or Chris gets it wrong and you win the Padres tickets. Who is the only athlete to play in a Final Four game and a Super Bowl?
To do what?
Julius
to play
Peppers.
In a Final Four game. I'm sorry, what was that?
Julius Peppers.
Mark has won the tickets.
Wow, nice job. Mark.
Wow, good
that
job,
was a
Mark.
Good get. I wouldn't even have got that right.
That's a great call. And I'll tell you what, Julius Peppers was tough on the basketball court. He was a great player at North Carolina.
North Carolina, and then he got to play in the Super Bowl with the Carolina Panthers. Mark, stay on the line, man. Congratulations. You got two tickets to see the Giants and the Padres tomorrow night.
He played in Super Bowl 38 with the Panthers. And the 2000 Final Four with the Tar Heels.
He was tough, man. He was a tough power forward.
He was tough. I got another one for you just for fun. And I don't know that he's the only guy to do this, but I'm going to just go ahead and take a stab at it. Do you know the only guy, Coach, who played in a Final Four and a World Series? There is a guy that I know for sure played in both. Got to go back into the 70s. That's why I'm asking you, because you might remember this guy. I don't know. Okay. And I don't know if he's the only guy, but I think he is.
He played at the University of Minnesota?
No.
He didn't. Okay. That rules
NC
that guy
State.
Out. Oh, Tim Stoddard.
Tim Stoddard, very good.
Big right-handed relief pitcher.
Yeah, big forward on the champion North Carolina State team that had David Thompson and upset UCLA in 1974 for the title. Tim Stoddard was the power forward, went on to be a right-handed reliever for the Baltimore Orioles in the World Series. Now, there could be somebody else who's played in the Final Four and in the World Series, but I know Stoddard was the first, and I still think he's the only one.
Remember Tom Burleson off of that North Carolina State
Seven
team?
7'2".
And the little point guard, Monty Tau. Yeah,
I had to do some research for that question and make sure Julius Peppers is the only one that played. McNabb was a reserve on the Syracuse 96 team that lost to Kentucky in the Final Four.
Did not know that. Donovan McNabb. Really?
If you didn't know, Thomas is also the biggest Donovan McNabb in Syracuse
Go
fan you've ever had.
That's a good one, Thomas. I didn't know Donovan McNabb suited up for Jim Boeheim. Did not know that.
I want to ask Coach a question because we didn't get many questions for Coach here.
Right.
So, Coach.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Professional football is alive and well in San Diego.
What? Are you serious?
It's that time of the week to get caught up on what's happening on the gridiron.
You want to play football or not?
It's time for our San Diego Fleet Update on 97.3 The Fan.
How's the ballpark, gentlemen?
Very
well,
good.
I can't let you do the Fleet Update if I don't get the correct sounder. Where's the sounder? There we go. Thank you. That lets me know we're about to talk Fleet football with Thomas Andrews right there. Thomas, before we get into the Fleet, real quick, some people might have read that the AAF earlier this week was concerned about maybe having to fold. Apparently, that is kind of a concern that has gone by the wayside for now. We're okay at the moment.
Yeah, some of the recent comments by Tom Dundon, who's the Miami, the National Hockey League owner.
Carolina
Hurricanes. Yeah, he donated about $250 million to become one of the major shareholders in the Fleet. And he came out recently and said that, you know what, he was thinking about holding out the whole league out because he wouldn't respond well with the NFLPA due to, basically they were trying to look at getting practice squad players and first-year players that are on practice squad teams that make them eligible to come in and have a partnership with the Fleet so that they can use their players during the offseason. But somehow there's still some issues with the NFLPA on allowing the usage of each player. There hasn't been an agreement on that, but basically Dundon is saying, how can we survive as a league if you're not going to let us use certain players and the guys that you want to develop, but let them actually develop in a different way than just sitting on a practice squad?
Yeah. Well, we talked about it a little bit the other day, Tony and I, because Coach, the NFL has had this free system to develop players for the last 100 years, basically, and that's called college football.
Right.
And now there's an AAF. And I think the NFL should step up and help the AAF, help them develop some players.
Well, it's just like, when they were playing over in the Europe League there for a number of years. But, again, you've got the XFL coming in. They're going to want to probably try to work out some kind of deal. I think it's going to be really, really interesting. I'm just a little disappointed that, you know, even 3 weeks ago we talked about Dundon having to, you know, bail out the AAF already with $250 million thrown in there. And then the talk this week, it just seems to be a little bit uneasy right now. And hopefully they're able to get through this first year, get through the championship, lick their wounds, and come back for a second year.
It's a little unsettling right now, but a lot of startup leagues have growing pains, and you got to get through that first year or two.
No,
all
yeah.
right, Thomas. Go ahead, Thomas.
I was saying, yeah, no, absolutely. And especially the Fleet itself, and despite all their recent struggles, the Fleet still control their own playoff destiny. As bad as they looked last Sunday, the Fleet know that a 3-0 finish can lead them into the playoffs at 6-4. If both San Diego at 3-4 and Arizona at 4-3 go 2-0 over the next 2 weeks, then the Fleet beat the Hotshots in the Week 10 rematch. That gives San Diego a great shot to make it into the playoffs between them and San Antonio, who leads the division right now at 6-2. So those are the two teams.
But the Fleet control their own destiny with three games to go, so that's all you can ask for.
Exactly. But it's going to get a little hard for them because they just put a couple players on IR. That includes leading rusher Jaquan Gardner, who this season has 311 yards rushing with back-to-back games, 100-yard games in week 2 and 3. He injured his right shoulder last week against Arizona Hotshots and will have to have surgery to repair the damage and was placed on injured reserve. Mart said this week that Gardner could have potentially played through the injury, but he's going to opt out for surgery now to help increase his viability going into an NFL camp this summer. Also, another player placed on IR is Dontez Ford, who is the team's leading receiver. He's third in the league in the AAF itself, but leading the Fleet with 435 yards receiving. He was diagnosed with a bone bruise in his right ankle after being injured 2 weeks ago in Birmingham. After his three-catch, 182-yard performance, but on that last catch, he got tackled low and his ankle got rolled up, so they moved him to IR. But, so technically, he could come off IR because you have to serve a four-game minimum once you go on IR. So he could come back technically if the Fleet make it to the championship game on the 27th. But even then, Mike March has kind of ruled him out and said he doesn't want to rush him because of the long-term effects.
What is Coach March saying real quick about the play of his team right now at 3-4 and what they need to do to have a chance to win these last three games, Thomas?
He said it's going to come down to his quarterback play. They're turning the ball over way too much on offense, not picking up good chunk plays on first and second down, resulting in third and long. And the running game has been non-existent over the last 3 weeks, and the loss of Jaquan Gardner isn't going to help with that. But the one good thing they have going for them is that one of their stud offensive linemen, Damian Mama out of USC, has been banged up with a bad ankle and knee. He's going to be returning. He's been back the last couple weeks, but hasn't been a fully participant in practice. And this week, he wasn't even on the injury report. So he's going to be a great addition to them at full strength. They're going to be able to have their full offensive line back as Mama moves back to center after they move some guards and tackles around. But him being back should help. And with the addition of Bishop Sankey, who was their biggest name player coming in, coming into the season, the AAF, as far as name recognition, he started the season on IR with a knee injury, but he's come on as of late over the last couple weeks, getting some more touches, and he could be the spark the Fleet need with this playoff push.
Hey, Thomas, the one guy that's really had a great year for the Fleet on offense has been Nelson Spruce. He had a big game last week.
Yeah, actually, Nelson Spruce broke the AAF record for most catches in a game. He had 12 catches on 14 targets. He's been a real chain mover for the Fleet, but he came on those two drops. The two non-catches he had were drops on key third downs of the chain. So he's going to want to improve on that. But he has been the go-to target for Berkovici as far as third down and check down. So look for him to be a huge addition going forward, especially with the Salt Lake City Stallions have one of the best defensive lines and the best run-stopping defenses. So look for the Fleet to attack them through the air. And you're going to want to see that Stallions at 2-5 probably play spoiler, because the last time they played the Fleet here in San Diego, Donnie Hageman walked off against them 27-25 on a 44-yard field goal.
All right, go Fleet. They got Salt Lake City this weekend. Three wins to get into the postseason. Great work, Thomas Andrews, on our weekly Fleet update. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, guys.
All right, there we go, Coach. You're up to date on your Fleet now?
That's ready? Good stuff.
You ready for a little pro football this weekend?
Yeah, I certainly am. Anytime they have a SD on their jersey, I'm up for it.
You're up for it.
Oh, yeah, by the way, the game versus the Salt Lake City Stallions is tomorrow at 5 p.m. on the NFL Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
5 p.m. tomorrow.
Sometimes there's just not enough time in the day to talk all the sports we want.
I feel reborn. I'm like a phoenix.
Settle in and saddle up. The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Mr. Scraby, let's hear it.
I just want to let everyone know, though, when Chris was just telling us about the scores of the NCAA tournament games, it was because Petco has both games up right now. The first one, the Michigan State-LSU game, is on the big screen. We got the North Carolina game on the other screen. It's a pretty good setup here.
Nice little setup. They had to start letting some people into the ballpark so that they can watch these games.
I would agree.
With the rest of us and watch a little Padres BP, which is going on right now.
You know how we've been talking about golfers and stuff? This is a little bonus Big Five. There's no question here.
There's never bonus when you're adding golf to the Big Five.
Bubba Watson, though, he got into it with a fan yesterday. He got into it with the fan because someone yelled during his swing, and his caddy, Ted Scott, said, "Hey, buddy, let's be quiet next time."
Oh, my goodness.
And
this is what we talked about the other day. I want to see one golfer one time hit a shot with a little noise.
Bubba does that. He does that. But Bubba went back at the guy and said, "It's funny how tough you were, then you looked away." And then the caddy added, "Pretty funny." And then Bubba Watson looks at the guy again and goes, "Everything's big behind the ropes and behind a computer. Look at him. He's still trying to look cool." And then he walked away. So
the guy was big time until Bubba approached him, is
exactly,
what you're saying.
Exactly, exactly.
Well,
that story sounds like we had to be there to really get the full effect.
Oh, come on, Coach.
It's pretty typical of Scraby to tell a story
Coach.
That makes sense only to him.
It was great. I couldn't play the audio, but anyway, let's get to it, Thomas.
Number five.
Moving away. United Airlines offered to withdraw from a $69 million deal today that would change the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum to United Airlines Memorial Coliseum. There is criticism that adding a corporate name is disrespectful to the facility's history of honoring troops who fought and died in World War I. The airline made the offer to the University of Southern California, which announced the agreement for the naming rights last year as part of its extensive $270 million renovation of the nearly 100-year-old landmark. So, Coach, you're up first. Do you think the Coliseum should be able to change its name?
Yeah, USC is the one that owns it now. They're the ones that are having to pay all the freight for the upkeep. And I would imagine in that old stadium that's had so many great events and Olympic events, I'm sure it needs a tremendous amount of upkeep. So as long as you know, they don't change some parts of that stadium, I'm okay with them taking
the
money from, you know, from a corporate company.
Chris, what do you think?
Last I checked, Scraby, you, I, and the coach are sitting in Petco Park.
Yes, we are.
So that's kind of the way things go in this day and age. Even the L.A. Memorial Coliseum can have a naming sponsor. It doesn't take anything away from the respect that was given to the soldiers who died in World War I almost 100 years ago. It's been the Memorial Coliseum. It's still going to be the Memorial Coliseum. It's just going to have an added name to it. I must tell you that when the Forum, back in the late 80s, became the Great Western Forum, I hated it. But that was 30 years ago, and this is now, and stadiums have naming rights, and we just got to get used to it.
It's like all the old school stadiums, Candlestick, Yankee Stadium, and so it's all changed.
They even Safeco Field's now T-Mobile Park or something like that.
It is. There's
Yankee Stadium has kind of held out, but that's because the Yankees get so much money in TV revenue, they don't need naming rights for their stadium.
You would think that they would think about it, like New Era Field. Isn't it Yankee Stadium, New Era Field at Yankee Stadium or something?
I don't think so. Not that I know of.
How about Boston, Fenway Park? They haven't changed that name
yet. They can't. That would be
Wrigley Field.
That would be terrible.
Well, I would guess on the side that it will happen eventually more than guess on the side that it wouldn't happen.
Agreed. All right, Thomas.
Number four.
Saints head coach Sean Payton has been very vocal this offseason about a lot of different issues in the NFL, but this time he is speaking out about coaching diversity. But it's not what you think, because he is talking about the rush to hire young offensive minds like Rams head coach Sean McVay. Payton said that teams should not only look for young quarterback coaches. He said if that is a team's goal, then, quote, "You're going to end up with a smaller pool and you probably have less of a chance to be right, because already of the eight hired, there's going to be three that survive 3 years," end quote. Chris, do you agree with Sean Payton?
The one thing I did read this story, and I really did agree with Sean Payton on, was the fact that teams do seem to rush to hire the hot new style of coach. Mm-hmm. And what he said is, they're overlooking the Bill Belichick style of coach.
Yes.
They're going with the new hot thing and overlooking people that are great and have achieved greatness in the game. And what Sean Payton said is, if you're black or white or green or red or blue or an offensive mind or a defensive mind or a special teams mind, if you can lead and you're a great leader, then you can be a great head coach. And that's, I think, what Sean Payton's saying here is that owners are being a little bit too close-minded. They see what one team does, and they feel they have to do the same thing to appease their fan base instead of thinking things through and going, hey, look, let me try to – that's who I try to find, coach, is another Belichick, not another Sean McVay. He hasn't won anything. Give me a couple of Belichicks. I'll take that to run my team.
You know, I think every year, Chris, I'm kind of amazed at some of the guys who get hired and some of the guys who never get hired, quite frankly. And, you know, I'm not a big believer in – you know, I've been around the NFL, obviously, with the Chargers and the Bobby Ross days and Mike Riley and Kevin Gilbride, and we can go on and on and on. And you need a leader of men. I don't care if a guy was a coordinator, he was an offensive guru or a defensive guy. If you're a leader of men and you're a good position coach, there's no reason why you can't be a dynamic coach as a head coach, whether it be in college football or professional football. You need to hire a good staff. Not one man is going to be able to, win a ball game for a football team. You got to have a good staff in place, and you got to be able to coach that staff. Therefore, those coaches then coach the players, and you can be the CEO type of guy. But you've got to create the atmosphere that, you know, there's not going to be a lot of BS going on, and we're going to run this a tight ship, and we're going to, I'm going to be the leader, and we're going to hold you accountable. You got to be a leader, and not all the time are these offensive gurus really leaders. They're so into their playbook, they don't know how to have interpersonal communication with their players a whole lot other than their quarterback.
Yes.
One thing I want to add is that, you know, Belichick himself is one of the reasons this happens, but I really get tired of coaches that have had their opportunity, shown that they can't be good leaders, shown that they fail, and then they get two and three and four more coaching opportunities just because, well, that guy's been a head coach before. But you know whose fault that is? It's Belichick's fault, because he struggled so much his first time around with Cleveland. But when he came back around with the Patriots, obviously he became the great Belichick. So people say, well, you know, I'm going to give this guy another opportunity. I agree with the coach. I like some new blood in there, some guys that deserve an opportunity that have been waiting their chance. They get passed over far too often.
Good stuff, guys. Let's go, Thomas.
Number three.
All right, we talked about this a couple times. It's a pretty sad story. Linda Goldblum was at a game at Dodger Stadium last August when she was struck in the head by a foul ball and later died at the hospital of a fatal brain injury. Well, last week, the Dodgers offered to hold a moment of silence for Linda before a 2019 game this year, but her husband, Irwin Goldblum, declined, asking instead for something else. He said, quote, "We don't need their sympathy. We want action. If they agree to make changes to improve safety for fans, then I'll go down there," end quote. So, Coach, is this a fair thing to ask for in response?
Well, you know, that's a tough one to answer for me. I think it was a nice offer by the Los Angeles Dodgers, but again, that man and his family are grieving over the loss of his wife. And I don't know what's transpired, you know, that hasn't come out in the public, okay, about her, what happened. And, you know, we didn't hear until 6 months afterwards that this happened. So I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. But, you know, I have to go with the husband on this one. However he wants to handle it, I think that it's his right.
Chris, what do you think?
I certainly think it's his right to ask what he's asking. But I don't necessarily think that the Dodgers have to make their ballpark perfectly safe proof. It's just not possible. I mean, there's a risk involved if you come to a ball game that you could, you know, unfortunately get hit by a hard baseball that's traveling at a relatively fast rate of speed.
Yes.
And, you know, obviously when you come to the game, you owe it to yourself, wherever you're sitting, to pay attention to the game as it's going on. Not saying this lady wasn't. I have no idea. I don't think we've ever really been given any information on that. But he certainly has a right to ask, but I don't know that there's a whole lot more too many major league teams can do to keep every fan perfectly safe at a ball game.
I'm looking down.
And as far as that goes, that's just, you know, it's an unfortunate fact of life. There's screen all around Petco Park here, but it still can't protect every single fan that comes into the ball game tonight. It's just, this was a one horrible outcome is what this was. And, I don't know that you have to overreact to it.
All right, Thomas.
Number two.
The reigning World Series champion Boston Red Sox got roughed up by the awful Mariners 12-4 yesterday. I know they're 3-0. I know they're 3-0, but everybody picks them to be awful, so I'll say awful.
The Mariners are 3-0.
Yeah, the right. Mariners are the Mariners are 3-0 because of their two games in Japan with Ichiro. And Chris Sale, he didn't have his best game. He gave up two homers to Tim Beckham. And Sale was taken out of the game after three innings after giving up seven runs. And I was looking at some Red Sox fans, fan boards earlier this morning. Those are my favorite places to go because they're so emotional.
Oh,
fan
God.
Boards. And they are all kind of worried. And they're all freaking out. And they're all saying to prepare for a World Series hangover. So, Chris, do you believe in championship hangovers?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I'm not saying that the Red Sox have one.
Yes.
But I do believe in them. I mean, look at baseball in general. The Giants, right here at Petco Park, what'd they win championships? Every 2 years.
Right.
2010, 12, 14. Red Sox have won their three championships, but there's been time in between those championships. Mm-hmm. The last team to win back-to-back World Series, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm probably going to mess this up, but the Toronto Blue Jays, 92-93, and if somebody else snuck in there, I don't remember it. There is such a thing as a hangover, but I think part of it is that the odds of baseball just are not in your favor to go your way for a whole nother season. I mean, it's 162 games. So many things happen. Injuries.
I think, the Yankees won it.
Oh, you're right. They're
three
Yankees.
Years in a row.
Thank you. I knew there was another team in there. Thank you for getting the Yankees
no
won four out of five, actually.
Yes.
But since 2000, nobody's won
back-to-back,
right? So
Correct. It
hasn't happened in 20 years.
Yes.
But it's not that the guys don't try, and it's not that the guys don't work out during the offseason. I don't believe in that. I just believe that water finds its level, and a team that has all the success and everything bounce in their direction 1 year to win is a little more unlikely to have that happen the following season.
I think every sport there's a hangover effect for a championship ball club. I think the players and the coaches and baseball manager, they're pulled in a variety of different directions during the offseason. It takes away from their maybe normal workout regime before they report to spring training. As you mentioned, injuries definitely play a part in it. You've also got probably not the entire 25 guys back. You may have lost a player here or there to free agency. You also have players that are on the current roster that want more money. It creates, problems. That's why some people tell you ownership, they want to win just enough to get all that season ticket money, but they don't want to win too much because it creates a lot of problems. If they're winning consistently, because everybody wants a bigger handout when it comes to their salary.
There's been very few repeats in the National Football League as well. I mean, you got to go back a ways for that. So the only sport where it doesn't seem to come into play is basketball, where if you just have the best players, you can have whatever hangover you want and still win the next year, because the Warriors have been on a run for quite a while now, hungover or not.
It'll be interesting to see what goes on with the Warriors after this year. They have a lot of decisions to be made.
True enough.
I'm trying to quickly look and see when the last repeat was, and it looks like the Patriots, 04-05.
Yeah.
All right, Thomas, let's get to the last.
Number one.
LeBron James is not happy, and we know he's not happy because he is now resorting to this. Wait for this, because per ESPN.com's Dave McInniman, he provided a pretty interesting response when asked about the Lakers front office building a roster of playmakers instead of shooters. LeBron said, "That experiment?" And then he stared out onto the court for a moment, turned his attention back to the conversation, put his lips together and stuck out his tongue, and he did this. Coach, is LeBron James being a sore loser?
Wait, who actually made that sound?
LeBron.
That's LeBron?
Yes, that's what they're writing, because they can't write that as a quote. But Dave McEnemann.
No, but who actually did that? Whose sound was that? that we just heard.
That was LeBron.
That was you, right? That was me, but that was me.
That was
being
you
LeBron.
Being LeBron.
Yes.
Very good, Scraby.
Thank you. It's called a raspberry.
Your LeBron imitation is spot on.
Oh, this is what I'm telling you. Thank you.
Yeah, that's where I was going.
The question is LeBron being a baby?
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
No, I think LeBron is at a point right now. He just wants to get this season over, figure out what they're going to do in the month of July, see if Rob Pelinka, Magic Johnson can get something done. It's been it just hadn't worked. They're 9 games under .500 right now. He's playing one night, not playing on the second of back-to-back nights. You know, it's time for the season to get over and for the Lakers to hopefully regroup, because this didn't go anywhere near the way I was hoping it was going to go for the Lakers this year.
Chris, what do you think? Is LeBron James being a baby?
No, but this season went exactly the way I was hoping it would go for the Lakers. disagree with the coach 100% on that. I love to see a guy like LeBron James, who I respect and admire, have to go through some difficult times at least once in his entire career. You know, I mean, it shouldn't be that easy. I mean, Michael Jordan made it look easy, but look, Kobe Bryant had to go through a bunch of growing pains to win his championships. Then, after he won his championships, they went backwards and then rebuilt and won another 3 championships. So this is good for LeBron James, a little humility. I mean, he's had it just sailing along here for about a decade.
13 years he made the playoffs in a row.
My goodness, I mean, everything has gone LeBron's way. So this year, and I'm not surprised that he's reacted the way he has. Why? He's just not used to being in this situation. He's never had to answer these kinds of questions before.
It's true.
So I understand his frustration, but it'll just make him better in the end. I think the Lakers will bounce back next year. I think they'll add some talent. And if they would have stayed perfectly healthy this year and LeBron never got hurt, probably would have worked out all right even this season.
I don't know why they traded Zubac for Muscala. That trade made no sense to me whatsoever. Zubac was really coming on.
Well,
you know, some people out there might think he's saying Zubat, which is a Pokemon.
Nobody would think
it's
that.
It's Zubat.
Oh, Zubat. Sorry.
See, that's why nobody would think that.
All right.
Let's close out the Big Five from Gwynn and Chris.
Chris is biting his tongue right now for some reason.
No, I'm biting my tongue because there was a sounder there.
Oh.
Well, and Scraby, the last repeat in the NFL was 03-04, not 04-05.
Oh, gosh. We're going to go through that argument again. We're going to go through that argument again, and I'm not going to do it. Scraby thinks that because the Super Bowl is played in 05, you're the 05 champion.
We have to go to break.
When you're actually the 04 champion.
We still have 40 seconds.
We've had this argument, and we can't get past this with Scraby.
What was Thomas just doing there, trying to get us back on that argument?
Yeah, well, that's okay.
Well, you said the Patriots repeated in 04-05, but it was 03-04.
You're wrong. And Thomas is right. Thomas is right. The last repeat was 03-04.
Okay, I'm out. I'm leaving.
Good.
Thomas?
I don't mind that. It's Gwynn and Chris, 5 o'clock hour. We're not leaving. It's coming up next, 97.3 The Fan. Gwynn and Chris from Petco Park.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Friday afternoon, Chris Ello, the coach, John Quintero, sitting in for Tony Gwynn Jr., SDCCU fan hotline, working overtime coach, joining us right now, former Padre and San Francisco Giants coach, Tim Flannery on 97.3 The Fan. Tim, how are you?
Hey,
good to talk to you again,
good,
sir.
Good, Chris. Good to hear your voice. You and Coach, I'm sure Coach is there with you. Thanks for calling.
Hey, we're happy to have you on. Of course, Flan, after he stepped away from working on the Padres, he came and worked with us on the radio. Him and I in 2004 did the the post game show. We had some big nights down at the Manchester Grand Hyatt, didn't we?
It was funny. You know, I'm still up here doing television, the pre and post game for the Giants, and they showed a scenery shot of, you know, my home down there and around the ballpark. And there's a there was the Manchester Grand Hyatt, and I was sitting with Sean Estes, and I go, oh my God, I was there till midnight every single night.
That's right.
Yeah, midnight. Well, that's where the show went till midnight, no matter what.
And then a guy could throw a two-hitter, and the game would be over at 9:15. Me and Flan were still breaking it down at 11:55.
Yeah. It was great, though. It was great that the fans could all come out, and we had fun, and it was a good place to learn, you know, learn from you as well, Coach, just that you got to show up and do the reps all the time, and it was great.
You know, a lot of people think and remember Tim Flannery is a third base coach of the Giants. I always go back to the 2010 season when you were doing some play-by-play for the Padres, and I thought you did a great job, and that was a special season. The Padres had the lead, almost took the division title. The Giants finally caught them at the end. But all year long when you were broadcasting that team, Flan, you talked about just the special feeling.
Wait a minute. 2010, I was coaching the Giants.
Yeah, he was in the third base box.
The 2006 season, I beg your pardon, right? Was that the year that the Padres won the division?
05 and 06.
I was doing the radio then, yeah.
There we go. My bad. But you were talking about the special feeling.
It goes by quick.
It does, right. But you were talking about the special feeling you felt in that ball club. I know it's one game into a season, but I sense there's something weird going on with this Padre team. Is there any way to categorize that this early, or do we need to wait a little while longer?
I think, everybody needs to wait a longer, but there are some nice signs. I mean, first of all, the ballpark was full, so there's excitement. I think that you look at the lineup, it's a lineup of depth. You're going to score runs. You got youth. You've got veteran leadership as well that is really going to help. You've got amazing bullpen that's going to really help out with the starting rotation. The starting rotation, does what it does. They're young. They're inexperienced. You're going to have to take care of them and not let them go deep. But Andy Green also is a guy that last year used the bullpen more than anybody in the history of baseball. So they led baseball in strikeouts and innings pitched, and he's not afraid to go to get it done. And they've got the power arms and some of the veterans in that bullpen that can do it. So they're going to have to score, I believe, to also take a little pressure off of the starting rotation. But from a distance, looking what goes on there, and I follow the transactions and all of it, and it should be real exciting summer for San Diego Padres and also their fans.
Hey, Flan, I want to talk about the Giants. You know, we had Boch on the program earlier, and, he's going to retire at the end of the year, and us old-school baseball guys, it's one less guy going to be in a major league dugout after this year. But, you know, I looked at that ball club yesterday. You got, some of the great stars that were parts of those world championship teams, and then I look at that outfield, and, my question would be, what is the game plan with Farhan Zaidi and this roster, because they really didn't do anything during the offseason?
Well, I don't know what the plan is. We're all kind of waiting to see that. I think that was a surprise when you look up and you see the outfield, who they had out there, and the two of them, the corner guys, were just brought in like 8 days ago. So I actually thought when Michael Reed walked out on when he was introduced at the pregame ceremonies to the line, I thought he was introducing himself to all the guys on the team. The way he was, hi, how you doing? You know, I'm Michael. So it is definitely a transitional time up here, but that's, it's the collateral damage that comes with winning three world championships. When you win, you draft last. When you come in last, you draft first. So there is not a lot of depth in the farm system. So what Farhan has done is what he did with success in Los Angeles. He goes out and grabs a bunch of Rule 5 guys and maybe tries to find lightning in a bottle. When they start talking about some of the things that he did over the years and how he found lightning in the bottle with Muncy there and with Chris Taylor there. But, those guys, you look at the history there. I mean, Chris Taylor went 5 years hitting, I think, a combined two home runs, and then he hit 38 home runs the last two seasons. Muncy, he went had five homers the last 2 years before last year and didn't even have a job. He was out of baseball. And then Farhan grabbed him, and he hit 35 last year, changing his, like he says, he changed his spine angle, whatever that means. So I don't know if a chiropractor is more important than a – hitting instructor. But – that looks the plan is at the moment, just because of money and the contracts, because they paid everybody. The infield, the core infield, was taken care of after they won the world championships. And you've got Belt at first. He might be a trade chip later. Panics at second. Crawford's not going anywhere. And Longo, you know, I don't know if anybody would take his money. But it's definitely a different feel, you know. And you've got a pitching staff, a starting pitching staff that's really decent. And you got a bullpen up here that's really good. And even the last two years, they lost 187 games in two seasons. But last year, when they scored four runs or more, they were 52-20. So all they need to do is find somebody somewhere that can put up some runs, because they will pitch and they will catch the ball. But it was a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths up here, because we've seen it too much over the last 2 years. So I don't know if there's people out there available. I don't know that he's waiting to see, give a couple guys some chance. But everybody up here demanded a rebuild, but you can't just blow up guys and core players who have guaranteed contracts and no trade contracts. So it's going to be a wait-and-see thing here. And as Farhan says, he rebuilds teams with one good, smart baseball move at a time, and he's made a bunch of them, and some of them have panned out. So I'm anxious to see the same thing.
SDCCU Fan Hotline, Tim Flannery joining us here from Petco Park. Giants Padres tonight. Flan, we did have Bruce Bochy on a little bit earlier, and it felt a little strange talking to him. We were asking about his career and the fact this is his last season, and you know, I don't want to put him into retirement before he gets to retirement. He's still got another season left and may be able to pull off some magic with this young team. But as a guy who coached with him for all those years and won all those titles, what's the first thing that comes to mind when you talk about the greatness of working with Bruce Bochy?
Well, he's the last of the old dogs when it comes to what the old school managers were all about. I mean, when you look at what happened yesterday, there's six new managers in Major League Baseball, and five of them have never managed ever at any level. So you understand that the analytics in the front office is now a big part, and that's not going away. And the managers now are going to become middle managers that implement the front office protocol. And if you ask anybody that's had a big league interview with any big league team over the last few years, almost every question in the middle of the interview comes up, and the question will be, are you willing to, if we give you some advice and suggestions, are you willing to take it? So they're letting you know right off the top that they're going to be involved with all of the decisions. And I remember Boach always saying, hey, that's great, man. If you want to make the lineup, you just make sure if it all goes awry, you're down here to take care of the press conference too, you know? So, I mean, I don't see him managing again after this year, but I can also tell you he's not one. I mean, it might have been a little nostalgic for him yesterday driving from Poway, and all the thought process of what has gone on in the last 26 years as a big league manager when Randy Smith gave him his first opportunity to manage. I'm sure all of that was going through his mind. But he's not one for the retirement tour. And you could see even after the game yesterday, he's a little frustrated already. My wife and I were joking. My wife was telling some people or listening to people saying, well, yeah, Boach will just probably have a chance to enjoy this year. And my wife's just belly laughing because Boach is not that guy. He's going to use every trick he's got. He's going to play every card he's got. He doesn't like he loves to win, and he's going to do all he can. And he'll be in the Hall of Fame, and it's just, you know, another part of change in another baseball old school guys out is going to probably walk away from it. So it is what it is. It's you know, I keep hearing that song from The Star Is Born the other night, you know, when he's singing, maybe it's time to let the old ways die. Maybe it's time to let the old ways die. It seems like that's a song all of us are going to be singing, that or the dinosaur, one of the two.
Hey, Flan, let me ask you this, because it's been a rough road the last few years up there in San Francisco. The fans, how do they feel about Boach right now finishing out this year? They've been on him at all any of the last couple of years, and where are the fans with him right now?
Well, you know, this place they went through a long, long time of selling out every night, every day, every night. And with that comes a big demand to win, Coach. And it was not always pretty up here, even when we first showed up from San Diego. You know, they were yelling, go back to San Diego. And then we'd go down to San Diego, and we were getting yelled, you guys are traitors. So it's like, and we didn't really have a place to hang, you know. And then we pulled off one world championship, and then after three world championships, it was a pretty surreal run that we went through, a historical run that I don't think will ever happen again. I really don't. They respect him. They want to win, and the demand still, but they're the same ones that wanted to have everything rebuilt, you know. But it's a demanding place up here, and they expect it, they demand it. But that comes with being up here, and I think Farhan's going to understand that as well as he goes, because after one day, they're already all over Farhan at the moment saying, hey, are you kidding me? And it's one game, you know, it's just one game, but it's just the knee-jerk reaction and the demand of people that are very passionate is what it is. But Bruce Bochy will be a Hall of Famer and revered in this ballpark and this city for a long, long time to come.
And you will be revered on this program for a long, long time to come. That was the best singing this show has ever seen by a mile.
Well, that's what we do.
How's the band?
You know, it's great. I got a brand new record about to be released April 27th up here at the Fox Theater, Redwood City. And we have that Love Harder project that I give all the money away to anti-violence and anti-bullying. And we played probably 35 something shows over the time. I was in Austin Saturday night last Saturday and got here to start the baseball season. So we got a lot going on, but it's been a really great run, and it's great to come home to San Diego, see my grandkids, but up here I'm up here for about 90 nights working, so that's kind of my schedule for the moment.
Flan, we appreciate you joining us on the show. Thanks so much, and have a great season.
Take care, Flan.
Okay. All right, Coach. See you, Chris. Thanks for having me. Take care.
Thanks so much. Tim Flannery right there on the SDCCU fan hotline. SDCCU, low mortgage rates, equal housing opportunity. Apply now, SDCCU.com. Welcome back, Gwen and Chris, 5:36 from Petco Park, getting set for Padre baseball tonight. The coach, John Quintero, sitting in for Tony Gwynn Jr. I'm Chris Ello. Gwynn and Chris is brought to you by Sonic Drive-Ins here in San Diego. Amazing burgers and drinks with 8 locations around town. So Google Sonic San Diego. Find the location nearest you. Thanks, Sonic. Every time I read that, Coach, I'm starving.
I agree.
It just gets my mouth watering every single time. NCAA basketball tournament continuing tonight, and joining us from CBS Sports on the SDCCU fan hotline, Reed Forgrave. Reed, appreciate it. I know you're watching games right now, and you got the Auburn-North Carolina game. You got Michigan State-LSU. Let's talk a little bit, if you can, for a second about the teams that won last night. Texas Tech, Gonzaga, Purdue, and Virginia. Which team impressed you the most last night?
Yeah, I mean, by the way, I wish that I were watching games right now. Unfortunately, I'm in Southern California, meaning guess where I am right now? I'm stuck in traffic, unfortunately.
Oh, that's a surprise.
I'm heading from Anaheim to the Lakers game right now, so I'll be at a good destination shortly. But
good.
Honestly, I think... look, I was at the West Regional, so the teams that I saw closest were Gonzaga and Texas Tech, and I was impressed by both teams. Gonzaga, such an incredible offense, such a fun team to watch, because they just play loose and free on offense in a way that most college basketball teams don't. Texas Tech, really the other end of the spectrum. They are the best defense in all of college basketball, and that's the team that I would pick that I was just absolutely floored by. Almost embarrassed Michigan. The fact that they held Michigan to what, 16 points in the first half. You know, they had like halfway through the second half, and they're Michigan sitting on 24 points. It was such an impressive display of a team that just outworks you, that out hustles you, that isn't afraid to get up in your face. And that Texas Tech team, I mean, top to bottom, every single facet of that team. They seem on the exact same page in that, look, they just, they haven't played with a chip on their shoulder. It's like such an old coaching cliche, but they play like what they are, which is underdogs. And these are players who weren't highly recruited, generally speaking. And they come together and say, "Hey, we're gonna try harder than everyone else," and that's what they did. And I was really, really impressed by Texas Tech.
Hey, Reed, I'm glad you talked about Texas Tech. I was telling Chris earlier a few years ago when Chris Beard was at Arkansas Little Rock, I did a San Diego State Little Rock game here, and they ended up beating San Diego State that day. But I had a chance to talk with Chris prior to the ball game, and I was so impressed by the way he talked about the game and different things he was looking for. And I know he is kind of a Bobby Knight disciple, but I followed his career, and this guy has had great success. And it kind of leads me into my question. You're here in Southern California. What are you hearing right now on the UCLA job?
I was just talking to someone last night about the UCLA job, and the consensus is they have no idea. What I've heard from people is that, look, they've waited a long time. It's been, what, three and a half months since Steve Alford was let go. They haven't made a move yet. Hoiberg, I thought, would have been a great hire. But the truth is, I'm not sure most coaches want to deal with the outside BS that is UCLA basketball. The having to suck up to the donor base. The fact that, like, this school doesn't pay particularly well compared for what it thinks itself to be. I get that they were, quote-unquote, courting John Calipari, but I know John Calipari well. He would have loved the idea of coaching there, but frankly, I don't think they could have afforded him. They would have had to pay him $12, $15 million. Cal loved being the king of Kentucky. So I think that I was talking with a couple of college basketball reporters last night who were very much into the coaching search stuff. And the consensus was, as far as which coach goes there, nobody has any stinking clue.
Interesting. Reed Forgrave is with us from CBSSports.com. NCAA tournament. The ACC's had a great tournament. Obviously, you saw Florida State go out last night. They still could get the three number one seeds. Talk a little bit about Virginia and what you've seen from them, because both Coach and I feel like they've been playing with last year on their mind, and I don't mean with a chip on their shoulder, but just playing a little nervous. Virginia doesn't look like they're having any fun this year in this tournament. They look like they're scared to death to go down to another defeat.
Well, that's a great point, and it's amazing because they are so confident all year long, and then that first half against Gardner-Webb, they were down – I can't remember what they were down, 8 points at half. And then the second half against Gardner-Webb, like, they should blow Gardner-Webb out every single time. The second half, it was like they were playing with their pants on fire. And it was like, oh, this is the Virginia team that can win it all. And yet, you're right. Like, they're such a good defensive team, right? They're so good on defense. And yet, they're so slow, and they limit possessions so much that, frankly, it means the variance is a lot higher. They can be the better team and lose because the other team hits a few more threes than they're supposed to, and Virginia doesn't have they're not made to make up points in a hurry. They're also not made to give up points in a hurry. If Virginia's up 10 points on the other, there's 8 minutes left, it's almost impossible to overcome. So, yeah, I've not been impressed by Virginia so far this tournament. I don't think anyone has. But if you look what they've done all year long, they've probably been the most consistent team in college basketball. Defense wins championships. I absolutely think they could win it all. What I have in my bracket, what I'm sticking with, is Duke over Carolina in the title game. But if I had to pick a third team to get in there right now, Virginia would be on my very, very short list, along with probably Texas Tech and Gonzaga would be my other two.
Reed, I look at Gonzaga last night. They got tested late in that ball game by Florida State. They eventually won it 72-56. They made their free throws down the stretch. And I think just amazing how Mark Few continues to do it. I mean, we can talk about a mid-major that, will make a run for two or three years, and then they graduate their class, and then it takes them forever to get back. This guy's been doing it for 20 years. It's amazing.
It is amazing. I mean, this program, we remember when they first broke through. It was, 97? Was that the first year breaking through into the, I think, the Elite Eight. I could be wrong on my dates and my specifics, but it's a quarter century of greatness at this random Jesuit school in Spokane, Washington. It's incredible. They've done it through brilliant coaching. They've done it through continuity, I think, is the most important thing. Not just Mark Few, but he's had the same associate head coach, Tommy Lloyd, for years. They're all on the same page. They recruit to their system. They do an incredible job, better than I think any team in all of college basketball recruiting internationally. Look at Rui Hachimura, has been absolutely incredible. But Killian Tilly as well. I know that he has lost a little bit of his luster because of the injuries, but he's a heck of a ball player. So it's probably, I think, the best single story in college basketball over the past quarter century is how this random little school in this beautiful but tucked away part of the world became not just, like you're saying, not just like a mid-major that had a nice little run, but a national power, one of the, 10 best programs in college basketball?
No question about it. I mean, they got the third or fourth longest consecutive NCAA tournament streak. Reed, we'll let you go. Get back to your traffic. Wish you the good luck getting out to Staples Center.
I can talk for hours. I know.
We lived it our entire lives. I will tell you that Auburn's gone up 10 on Carolina early in the second half, so we'll keep an eye on that. Yes, sir. All right, thanks. Thanks for your time, Reed. All right, thank you. Reed Forgrave from CBS Sports right there on the SDCCU fan hotline. SDCCU has low mortgage loan rates, equal housing opportunity. Apply now, SDCCU.com. Time now for our weeklies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.